WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in here to WGOD. We are tuning into God's frequency today. God has got a word for you today. If you go to where He speaks and if you tune into His frequency, when we're tuning into God's frequency today, it's going to be a shocking word. If you are a legalist, if you are a misguided messianic Jew, if you are a Jewish person, you're in for a shocking word. And it was shocking to the Jews of the first century. Now, let me be careful what I said, a misguided messianic Jew. And I mean by that, that is someone who is trying to keep the law in order to be right with God. Someone who still thinks, someone who has a Torah for a Bible, someone who doesn't eat pulled pork and doesn't eat shellfish because they think that those requirements, which were required of Jewish people back in the day, apply to them today for the reason of being in right standing with God. You're misguided if you think that. If you think you need to be circumcised as a male because God commanded Abraham to be, if you think you need to do that to be in right standing with God, you're misguided. And you've been deceived by the deceiver. And this is why the Apostle Paul is so disliked in that circle, as he was 2,000 years ago. When you get a former Pharisee stand up and make the following statements, look at the statements that he has said. He called the Old Testament law, he called it a ministry of death. He called it a ministry of condemnation. He said the letter kills. He says circumcision doesn't amount to a hill of beans. A Pharisee saying that. Whereas you were thrown out of the community if you were not back in the day. You had to be a part of the community. You see, the thing is, what Paul's trying to teach is that we're in a new covenant now and things have changed. That's why this former Pharisee can get up and say, the law was. That's the name of this sermon. That's the text, is Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, where Paul said, the law was our tutor, Greek word paedagogos, the schoolmaster, tutor, someone who watched out over a child until he was of age. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ so that we might be justified by faith. He proved in this letter the law couldn't save anyone. Neither was that its purpose was to save you. The purpose was to have you get on your knees and cry out like Paul did, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? This is the second part of this message now, which I have a new title for this. This is the purpose of the law, as the subject heading is in the New King James Bible. For more info on me, if you're still interested after that, WGODradio.com. My statement of faith is on there, and I stand with the writers of the New Testament and with the Apostle Paul, my hero. But that's why he's hated so much today, is for these things that he taught. Remember, the Apostle Paul wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Here's the second part of this message now, the purpose of the law.
God help us. Now, let's turn to the second book of the Bible while we're in the Old Testament, because we're talking about law, to the book of Exodus. And I believe this is chapter, I don't know, it's on the handout. Where are we? 20, right? Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. These are a little more familiar maybe with some of us. Now the Lord spoke all of these things, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You will have no other gods before me. You will not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything in heaven above or on earth below, or of anything that is in the water. You will not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations to those that hate me, but showing mercy to the thousands, to those who love me and who keep my commandments. Verse 7, you will not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Meaning, someone's going to pay the price for that, sometime or another, for using God's name in vain. Now, if you've ever done that, so much for you, trying to keep all the rules like people tell you to be right with God. Because James says if you've broken one, you've broken them all. And you're helpless, and you're in need of a redeemer to pay your price and save you out of your predicament that you're in. Moses went on to say, the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So that just makes you totally unqualified to redeem anyone, beginning with yourself. You don't have what it takes to pass go. You can't make it in on your own if you've ever used God's name in vain, which you'll probably find out at some point or another includes more than what you think that it does. Not just hitting your thumb with a hammer. So, you've already done that, perhaps. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, that means don't work on Saturday. Now, that's a commandment that I have broken every Saturday of my adult life. And now he tells you why. 6 days you will labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, neither you, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, not your cattle, not your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days, that would be six literal days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it or sanctified it. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Verse 13, you shall not murder. Verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. So Jesus says you're guilty of that who just looks at another person that you're not married to, secretly desiring them in your heart. Jesus said, that person is guilty of adultery. Verse 16, you shall not steal. Verse 15. 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox. You know, I wish I had Hector's ox. Who's done that? Covet your neighbor's ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And there you have the law of God, church. Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You know, he must have been really tough to look at this point. What do you think? Being made a curse? By the way, that word for curse is not the word anathema. It's a whole different Greek word. The word is katara, and the word means the opposite of blessing. You know, like we read of blessings and curses. It's not the word anathema, means to set apart for destruction. This is the, like to call down a curse, or again, the opposite of blessing. Now, after all of that, Paul anticipates the natural question that would follow. And that is in verse 19. What purpose then does the law serve? Right? I mean, if the law does that, if Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law, then why the law? Why do you have it? Why does God have it? What purpose are all those commandments that we just read? Now, he's going to answer that question explicitly. He's going to tell you why, first of all. Then he's going to tell you whether or not the law is permanent or not. Then he's going to tell you how it came about. Verse 19, what purpose then does the law serve? Answer out of the Bible. It was added because, I'm in verse 19, Galatians 3:19. It was added because of transgressions. Look at the next word. Until. Look, by golly, there's an expiration date on the law, same as there is on a carton of milk. Until the law was added because of your sins, until. The day's coming when it's not going to be valid over you anymore, is what he's saying. It's temporary. It was added because of sins until. Okay, again, what purpose does the law serve? Verse 19. It was added because of transgressions until the seed, capital S, if you got a good Bible, the capital pronouns for God in a Bible, seed. It was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hands of a mediator. Who was the mediator? The law. Moses. So the seed, capital S, the seed is Christ. The next chapter, chapter 4, verse 4, is going to tell us when the fullness of time had come. This is one of my favorite Christmas texts. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born, or again, made of a woman, made under the law. All right, onward. Paul anticipates the next question. Since the law and Redeemer are so different, since salvation is of the Lord and salvation has become evident in the new covenant, is the New Testament a contradiction to the old? Verse 21. And I need some audience participation by Carol and Darren in this one. Is the law against the promises of God? Meganoito. Which is Greek for, are you out of your mind, people? It's the most emphatic rejection of a sentence. Is the law against the promises of God? Meganoito. The King James says, God forbid. Some translations say, may it never be. The Esposito translation says, you're out of your mind, friend. For if there, I'll continue verse 21, if there had been a law that would have given life, then righteousness would have been by the law. You see, if there was a way that "don't do that" could have saved us, then how to get right with God would have came about by the law. Verse 22, "But the scripture has confined all under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to all who believe." Interesting word, this word confine. It means to shut up together, or it means to shut up on all sides. Also, there's a fisherman's term, the application for this. Cap Jim, you know what a shoal is. The word means a shoal of fish in a net. And that's what sin's done to you and I. It's confined us all together. The scripture has confined everyone under sin. So that, you see, here's the light at the end of the tunnel. So that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to all those who believe. Now, there's the perfect glimpse of our spiritual condition, BC, right? Before faith came, we're kept under guard by the law, kept for the promise that would afterwards be revealed. Verse 24, and the word "therefore." Here's a lawyer here summing this up, and the title of my sermon here, "The Purpose of the Law." It says, "Therefore, the law was." Notice it doesn't say "the law is." Notice it doesn't say "the law shall be with you always." It doesn't say that. It says "the law was our tutor." Greek word paedagogos. It means a schoolmaster. I even think the King James translates it, schoolmaster. The law was our schoolmaster. It was our tutor to bring us to Jesus Christ. All right, understand this. The law is like a taxi. And it takes you for a ride. Right? Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. If you do this, you're cursed. If you do this, you're cursed. If you do this, you're cursed. If you do this, there's an everlasting curse on you. God help us, what are you going to do? You see, why, pray tell, would you try to keep the law to be right with God? The law condemns you. I just read all the curses to you that God is going to hold you responsible for. The law is like a taxi. It takes you for a ride, but then it drops you off at the foot of the cross. And that leaves you, church, and those watching here today or listening on the radio, that leads you at a crossroads. You're at a crossroads here today. There's one road that ensures that you yourself will pay the penalty for the sins that you've committed. The law is taking you, it's dropped you right here. You continue down this way, he says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many, most people go in that way. But there's another way, you see, and that is the way of the cross. The way of the cross. Jesus said, "Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He also said, "I am the door. All who enter in by me shall be saved." You see, the purpose of the law was to have you cry out to God and to confess that you cannot carry this heavy burden on your own. That is the purpose of the law. And don't listen to any fish-eyed fool that would tell you that you're still under it or it's your obligation to keep it, because you can't keep it. You can't keep rules. Haven't you realized that yet, that you can't keep rules? The Bible says the just shall live by faith. That's all that's required of you. The just shall live by faith. The purpose of the law is to have you cry out to God and to confess you can't carry this burden on your own and you need help. And God has responded to that call, and he has presented you with a gift, not just to be received at Christmas, but to be received today. As long as it's still today, the gift is offered to you. And that is, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, church, that's good news. This is why it makes Paul so sore and why it makes me sore when I see other denominations and other Christians, they say they're Christians, trying to get you to live by God's Old Testament laws. Because A, you can't. B, if you stumble once, the Bible says you're guilty of the whole thing. How does that save you? So some of you are at a crossroads here. Maybe not in this church. Maybe you are in this church. Maybe some of you watching on the internet or hearing on the radio. You're at a crossroads here today. The taxi has dropped you off at the foot of the cross. The road of sin leads to hell. The cross leads to salvation and eternal life. You know, the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, that God will not remember your sins anymore. How cool is that? Where is that in the Bible? Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 30, maybe chapter 33. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. Hebrews, he talks about it. God promises to have amnesia with your sins when you call on the name of the Lord. And again, that's good news. The law's taking you here. Same as the Apostle Paul ended up here when he cried out and said, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And he found out that there was someone there to deliver him. And his name is Jesus Christ. And we're here to honor and worship him today for what he's done. Let's pray. Two, let me give you the opportunity. If you have yet to make a decision for Jesus Christ, if you find yourself on that crossroad today, here in this church or somewhere else, the Bible says, with the heart one believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, I find myself at this spot here. If this is you, friend, pray this prayer here today. I choose you. I call on your name here today. I turn and repent of my sins. I recognize I need help. I recognize I need a Savior. I recognize and I confess you as my Savior. I receive you here today. I call on your name, Jesus Christ, to be saved. Please forget my sins like the preacher promised that you would, because they've been many, and write my name in the book of life. Lord, we praise you here today. Thank you for showing us why people hate the Apostle Paul so much. And showing us this great revelation that you've given us, that we are no longer to live under the law. That we are now to live under grace by faith. We praise you here today in the house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
I love to be encouraged, and I'm so grateful for people who encourage me. And I tell you, I don't like to be around discouraging people. Now, sometimes we have to. Comes with a territory. The fleas come with a dog. Discouragement opens the door for all other kinds of sins and failures. Did you know the Bible calls God the God of all encouragement? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. It's the same word that is used here for consolation. And the word comfort, the word consolation actually means encouragement. God is the God of all encouragement. The devil is the sinister minister of discouragement. Discouragement is a major cause of failure. Bill Glass, who is a pro football player, has a prison ministry. Bill Glass was preaching to 1,000 inmates, and he said, I want to ask you a question. How many of you had a father who told you, one of these days you're going to end up in prison? Almost every one of them lifted his hand. And that's exactly what they did.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Yeah.